fireflies illuminate our play. Spotlight beam, up from night party, said clap your hands. If you think your soul is free, the silence was astounded. But the old Lord mercy needs. And oh, you can't stop what's coming up. You're never gonna stop, gonna live it up. Oh, it's gonna drop, gonna fill your cup. Oh, it's gonna drop. The age of miracles. The age of sound. There's a golden age coming round, coming round, coming round. Give it up. Instead of grabbing for decay, what we viewed as gold, I believe to lose this face. And it's grace ascending like a stake up your tree, of your happy ending. Understand it, all you're supposed to be. Let it move right in. Let it kiss your face. Let it sew your skin. Your perpetual embrace. Like I said, love's light is laughter. Like the sun spitting happiness into the hereafter. Oh, here it comes like a natural disaster. Oh, blowing up like a ghetto blaster. Oh, here it comes, bring it faster. Oh, here it comes. The age of miracles. The age of sound. Well, there's a golden age coming round, coming round, coming round. The age of miracles. The age of sound. Well, there's a golden age behind the horses dancing on the altar, hooves breaking gods to diamond dust and stars. And there you are. Now we're all allowed to breathe. Walls dissolve with the hunger and the greed. Move your body, you've got all you need. And your arms in the air stir a sea of stars. Oh, here it comes and it's not so far. All light beings, come on now, make haste. Clap your hands if you think you're in the right place. And the thunder all surrounding. Oh, feel it quick with the palm pounding. Oh, through the palm you can feel it pounding. There, look up and up, you can feel it mounting. Oh, it's gonna drop, gonna fill your cup. Oh, it's gonna drop. The age of miracles.
Greetings and welcome to Inside Baseball with Old Chestnut. I'm Liam Allen with my friend Moore Sachs. How you doing, MB?
I'm doing great. It's so good to see you. How are you?
Good. You got enough of that? You want me to play the rest of it?
That's a pretty good fucking song. I know what I'm doing the second, you know, we turn this over to the editing department.
Okay, good.
That song's too good.
It is?
Yeah. Big week for Evwak.
I know.
So first is we hit 400,000 downloads. Can you believe it?
No.
I remember it seems like just yesterday we were on the tour bus going from town to town, shaking hands, kissing babies, having breakfast at the local diner.
Yeah.
Sleeping in flea bag motels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. You
know, look how far we've come.
Who are these 400,000 people out there? Thank you to the audience. Like we're still here. We're doing it Friday afternoon for 4 years straight.
And it's Friday afternoon because life coach Leslie Harris needs it dropped so he can do his workout. Okay. Talk about catering to your audience. In terms of why it was a big week. So I had mentioned our go-to restaurant here is an Italian place called La Torretta.
Okay.
And we walked in during the week, and the owner, very nice young man, came up to us and says, "Is your podcast called Inside Baseball with Old Chestnut?" And I said, "Yeah, it's on the hat I gave you." He goes, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because we had people in here the other night for dinner, and they said they heard about the restaurant because they heard it on this podcast." But wait, we're talking about influencers. You may recall a couple episodes ago, I talked about how there's been some crime in the area.
Yes.
When
Yes.
I went out and bought a bunch of these pepper spray guns, I think Kimber
Yeah,
was the
yeah.
main thing. Yeah.
Check that.
Well, the next day, Cheryl tells me they're sold out. You can since get them now, but the price is higher.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we carry a lot of weight. And then, and this is, I'll phrase it in the form of a question. What's with Torsten Slok?
I was just gonna say, does everyone read the Apollo note? Everybody reads a Doc Slock, right? Okay, folks. So this is
Holy shit.
groundbreaking stuff. Anyone that pays attention and anyone that gets the morning email from Apollo, which I assume is 94% of you, okay.
Yeah. How about a little thanks for the effort, guys? Not a schnitz.
No, we don't do the show. We don't do the show. And he's like, yeah, the Monday morning notes, like China birth rate is declining. Oh, okay, thanks. Thanks, Doc. Okay. And then at least this week he waited until Tuesday. You know, he gave you a mulligan on Monday to throw you off, but then Tuesday it was like the show verbatim.
I know. Hey,
Beautiful. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He's a gentleman, and you know, flattery and genius is steel. It all falls in that same column, okay? So I have no problem with it, okay?
it's fine.
This
I
is.
do have to tell you, I used to get his pitch book surreptitiously, but eventually he just made it available to the public. I mean, the guy does great work. I
He
mean,
does,
there's
yeah.
no question about it. I think he's very talented. A little hat tip to help. I mean, we have bosses too. It would be nice if we could just show the people we work for.
It's not just you and me that's noticed. Other people, as soon as it hits the inbox, I got 10 emails from listeners lighting up the inbox saying, did you get the note? It's hilarious.
So, without your permission, I went to network because you'll recall last week's show. I wasn't something. Well, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it, whatever. We managed to gut it out. But I had lunch with our now smoked prime rib guy, Shannon Day. And we gave me some very, very constructive feedback. We get feedback from a lot of listeners. This was in a constructive form, which I greatly appreciate. And I'll try to incorporate that in today's podcast. But I came back energized, feeling like, I kind of a little bit more upbeat. And with my meeting with Network, I suggested we change the name of the podcast from Inside Baseball with Old Chestnut to Maverick and Goose.
No.
No good.
Oh, no.
Nishkit.
Neither of us can fly, okay? You're closer than I am. Neither of us is flying anything, okay?
I don't know. The closest I pulled to 9 G's is, I think I got 1.8 on the Porsche, and that didn't feel so good.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. We have a brand here at Inside Baseball that we're going to protect. Okay, we dismissed those early suggestions early on to change the name. Like week four, people were like, "We don't like the name." Okay, here we are. Now we're the biggest financial podcast in New York City. Okay, so
I think voted number one in the world, actually.
well, Canada. Canada carries a huge number. So thank you, all my friends up in Canada, my comrades up there.
What about the Jewish voice?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah.
Speaking of the Jewish voice, I think last week I mentioned I wanted to be very careful about becoming the angry old man shouting at clouds. Decided you can't change who you are.
Right. Fair.
And that's who I am. So why fight it?
Right.
So I'd like to start out kind of like the hit parade,
Okay.
just because, it is inside baseball. And, at my constructive lunch, the point was it's very helpful to have your call on rates and stuff, but the average guy doesn't really know what goes on Wall Street and behind the scenes on the trading floor. And I think I'd like to touch upon a few of those things. I'll give you an example. I get this newsletter, I think it's called Duneberg. Anyway, it's eclectic and it's inexpensive. So I get it. And now keep in mind, I'm an older guy. I've crashed on my bike a few times. I've hit my head a few times. My memory may not be 100%, so we proceed. But in the Duneberg article, they talk about Warren Buffett and how he was a man of his word, a handshake deal. So here we begin to traffic in an area in a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, back to Greenwich Capital. And I would be very much in favor of any Greenwich Capital colleagues who recall this, but there was as I said, a long time ago, where the United States government was actually running a surplus, and they were cutting back, and I think they, for a brief period of time, actually eliminated issuing treasury bonds. Hence the quote from now a beekeeper, "I am out of business." And it's not Edmund Hillary. But Warren Buffett bought a utility company. And I, as I recall, and again, this is totally from recollection, but when he bought the utility company, he had long duration rate risk, which they wanted to hedge. And at that time, there either weren't any newly issued long bonds or they were about to suspend the long bond program. Now, obviously, that's no longer the case, but things change. And there were very few shops that knew how to value something like that. And Greenwich Capital was one of those shops. And to be honest, I only saw this from a bit afar, but the traders at the time kind of knew their stuff and they made some assumptions and they put a price on it. And I don't remember whether they were buying or selling, but they put a price on it. And the client was Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett apparently said, "Sure, trade's done." But it didn't settle for like 9 months. And in that 9 month period of time, I think the Treasury started issuing bonds again, which meant they were going to be cheaper than the traders at our shop had modeled them, resulting in a very, very significant mark-to-market loss for Warren Buffett. Now, as local folklore has it, Buffett walked away from the trade. And given RBS's relationship and the fear of losing Buffett's business, they acquiesced. And of course, the traders screamed bloody murder. And I think they got paid So the RBS ate the Buffett do-over and paid the traders. There's another example. This one is not Warren Buffett, but a very high-profile guy in the markets did a trade. I need to be very obscure about this, but did a trade with a guy I know, and something happened over the weekend, and the famous trader called my friend up and said, "I no good. I'm not, that trade never took place." So, yeah, there's some examples of really bad behavior by people who put forth a pretty good public appearance. And why does it come up now? I don't know. I just felt like it was something different to talk about. I mean, I'm getting tired of bitching about my shitty childhood. Although Robert Downey Jr. did thank his shitty childhood for his Oscar.
Oh,
So
wow. Okay. Okay.
I feel like we were represented there. But bad behavior is not limited to Wall Street. How I feel about real estate brokers. We have good friends who are looking to move back to Greenwich, and they were looking at a house in Norwalk. You know that silver mine area? There's like a really good restaurant, and there's like a art city. Well, there's a creek that kind of runs over there. And
Interesting.
so this broker's taking them through a house in the silver mine area near the creek. And my friends say they ever get water from the creek. And the broker's like, no. Well, anyway, my friend is pretty good with real estate because he operates renting properties in Manhattan. And they go in the house to look in the basement, and there's a clear watermark from,
Waterline.
So the fact that the brokers got their commissions cut. I wake up every morning and thank my God that he finally saw fit to address that. But in my own experience, I had sent you an article a couple weeks ago about a former business partner of mine, Joe Chitrit, and you can look that up. If you're a word that is becoming more popular in my circles, if you're a denizen of the real estate market, you will know of this man. Anyway, one of our listeners is an accomplished real estate investor, and he and a few others got together, and I was part of the team that bought the famous Hotel Chelsea, which I think you knew that, right? The thing from the beginning was, I don't think shit show describes it. I would go with colostomy, unless you can come up with a better word.
Why? Why? Because it was a historical and you had tenants and just it was a nightmare, right?
Well, you had, first of all, the New York laws involving tenants' rights is Byzantine. In the end, just flash forward, the city of New York withheld papers covertly to prevent people from doing work. And I think they got fined a lot of money, like $30, $40 million. In any event, we don't need to go that reason. So this Joe Chitrit fellow had a habit of borrowing money and not paying it back, and that's what you probably saw in the news. But when we bought the Chelsea, the idea was, we're going to kick out the people that are squatters, we're going to put some money into it, and we're going to up it. We're going to rebrand it because the bones. It's got great bone structure. Like the staircase in there is just beautiful. Some of the floors are just beautiful. And the guys who ultimately got it finished did a spectacular job. They'll never see the light of day. They'll never, the IRR couldn't be more negative, but the finished work is spectacular. But when Joe took over, it was just a nightmare. There was asbestos floating around in the air. There
Nice.
were Department of New York City coming in because there were people living who were hoarders. People were living with rats and animal feces.
Artists, artists, they're artists.
But there was a lot of famous art done by the tenants of the Chelsea, hanging in the place. In fact, it was like a famous ballerina on a swing in the lobby, and this and that. Okay, well, anyway, Joe just stole it. Yeah, stole it. It was supposed to be moved to a warehouse in
Brooklyn, see ya.
Queens. Yeah, Queens. Yeah, really. I live in Queens. Yeah, so he stole it, and it hasn't been seen since. One of the other partners, Slumlord, and these are all real people. You can look them up. David Bistricher is an Orthodox Jew. Now, Orthodox Jews aren't allowed to work on the weekends. Okay. But because he wanted to make sure he got his share of every penny of income, okay, we had to redo the whole operating agreement so that it attested to the fact that he didn't work on the weekends, but that the income was spread over the remaining days so he could get paid, okay? The neat part about this, by the way, if anyone wants to check on me, this clause was drafted by an attorney, a very talented New York real estate attorney named Rob Ivanhoe. I forget which firm he worked at. It might be like McDermott, Will and Emery, or like a real firm, right? So he was, I bumped into him. He was kind of proud because he's the one that crafted they call it the Shabbos Goy clause. Wait, the plot thickens. So we start going through the list of investors, and it's Jew, 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 Jew. Of course, it can't be a Jew, right? So we pick, and I won't mention his name, but he knows who he is. So we pick the one guy that's, quote, not a Jew, okay? But it turns out he gets his results from 23andMe, and he's got some high percentage of Ashkenazi
Just gonna say, what are the
Jew.
chances?
So, David Bistricher, you're going to burn in hell. I don't. What does this have to do with baseball? I don't know. I just felt like today we were going to settle all family business. Remember, we had discussed primary dealerships and the advantage of being a primary dealership. I've since gotten over it, maybe, but the implication was that because we were part of a firm that had a primary dealership, we had a unique advantage. The reason why I think statistically I can prove we didn't was I had, still have P&Ls from 12 or 13 years, and 90% of the primary dealer traders made money, and only about 45 or 50% of the proprietary traders made money over that period of time. And that's enough data with enough people to say there's a statistical difference. But what I learned recently was I'm not sure if people understand. You've all seen pictures of trading rooms, right? They're these big cavernous spaces, at least they were. And by the way, the world's largest trading floor is now
I
the
know.
home of the World Wrestling
I know.
Federation.
I know.
I'm 95.
I know. I know.
How funny is that?
Dude, the trading floor that I always, when you say the old trading floor, I picture that Solomon Brothers, that Solomon
Yeah.
Brothers like ballroom,
Right.
40 foot high coffered ceiling.
Exactly. With banks of phones, right? So here's kind of the ambergris to this story. They're not phones like people are accustomed to, where the phone rings, you pick it up, you say hello, the other person, and it's just a private conversation. These tourists, we called them tourists, they would have 120 keys, and these would be direct lines. So if I had my brokers of Cantor, Garban, ArmJ, FBI, all I had to do was hit that button, and then the broker was either just sitting on the line, or if he wasn't, I'd hit a ringer and it would flash on his board. But these lines were ostensibly live 24/7. Not only that, most trading floors are set up so traders could shift around depending. So the turrets were very similar. So if the treasury bill trader wanted to hear what the long bond trader was doing, and they sat 30 feet apart, all he had to do was pick up the line that he figured the bond trader was on and listen. And the other people, unless they were listening for that click, which in the heat of battle you never do, you could hear what was going on. So apparently there were a number of people figured it out, and when big clients would come in, they would jump on the line, listen to what the salesmen were doing, and they would go out and front run the clients. So yeah. Did I mention this is based upon a true story?
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. So, where do we go from here? I finally read a book. I didn't look at the markets that much last week. I'm just, the whole money grabbing thing, the dick measuring contest, I'm getting a little bit fried, so I decided to take a little bit of a break from that. And what I found was after a couple of days of not staring at the money, honey, or all that crap, my mind started to relax. And I read this book called The Wager by David Grann. And it's actually pretty good. It's about the King of England getting a ship together with a bunch of sailors and marines with the idea of to sail and rob the Spanish. No bones about it. The mission was go and steal the Spanish gold and silver. Okay. I don't want to ruin the book for you. It was pretty good. But it's one of these funny things to me that how what was okay in the past is now, verboten. I mean, you can make the argument, I think it's a very valid one, that as you become more civilized, you should behave more responsibly. But it's no it's no secret that I have a very strong view about the Middle East. And I took great exception when I saw Barack Obama talking about how any future deals that are going to be made, they're going to have the Arab states recognize Israel. Now,
He can say that.
well, he's a fucking liar.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a
It's like I don't understand. He's the guy from Chirac who said, if you want to keep your doctor, you can keep your doctor. I
Yeah,
mean, how do you, I mean, I don't think at this point I'm ready to diagnose him like I did Kathy Wood.
right.
It continues to peddle her wares. I don't even know how he had time to speak publicly. I mean, at this time of year, isn't he supposed to be in Martha's Vineyard?
Dude, you brought it up, and when you said you were going to go through the hit list, he's not number one on my list today. Joe
Give it
Biden,
to me.
Joe, the president, dude. I got a real problem with what happened in the last 48 hours, right? NYPD.
I've been in hibernation. Tell me what's happened.
NYPD cop got shot and killed on Monday. Let's call it Monday. Kid, 3 years on the job. 3 years on the job. Cop gets killed. All right. President Trump shows up at the fucking wake, pays off his mortgage through Towers Foundation, which I have plugged on this show. You'll remember me plugging
Yeah, I
that
do.
foundation
I
for my
do.
firefighting, but that foundation pays off the widow's mortgage. All right. Trump shows up at the wake in Massapequa. All right, so Trump flies from Florida, shows up to Long Island, shows up at the wake, okay? Sees the widow. Dude, Joe Biden and Barack Obama are in Midtown doing a celebrity fundraiser with slob entertainers like Lizzo. And instead of going to that cop's wake, they acted like it didn't fucking happen. The governor, the Democratic governor, Kathy Hochul, showed up at the wake today and was told to leave. They asked her to leave because of her, she's part of the problem. They don't consider her a friendly, okay? So they asked her to leave, which but Donald, the fact that Trump did that, dude, and Biden didn't, he's not even like the fact that it just to me was so like dude, I'm not here to pitch you Trump, and I there's
No,
very
I
little like, but
no.
like I'm calling balls and strikes. Dude, you're in New York. Go to the wake, show up.
Did Biden even say
No, didn't
anything?
acknowledge it. There was no acknowledgement. There was no comment. There was nothing. Dude, you can get out to Long Island. If you're in Midtown, you can get to Massapequa in 15 minutes. Make the gesture. Like this is going on in a lot of cities have problems, You want to do all that defund the police stuff? Then you're gonna have a 3-year-old. The guy's got a 1-year-old kid. He's been a cop for 3 years, and he gets shot and killed, and you don't acknowledge it. I mean, that really irked me, And when I saw that Trump showed up at the wake, that really, I know how much that means to all those cop families. Like, cops are not, they're,
Yeah.
nobody likes cops right now. Cops are treated as enemies,
Well, that's what the famous philosopher Lorenzo Grippo said. Everybody hates cops till you need one.
Dude, he
Right?
taught me so much. That is, dude, he's such a good guy. Lorenzo was such a good guy and such a good cop. You know who hates, nobody hates guns more than Lorenzo. We have a good friend that we used to ride bikes with that was a great Westchester County cop for 20 years. You'd never know he was a cop because he was such a cool guy. He didn't act like a cop. But when you found out he was a cop, it made sense. He was the cool cop, He taught me a lot of stuff. And I love that guy. So Lorenzo, it's good to hope you're doing well. He's doing great. He's working with DeLuco, Lorenzo and DeLuco.
Oh, at the hospital center. They got the band bag. What's next? Tommy Gorman going over there?
Dude, Gorman was in Brooklyn last night, and they brought out Bruce at the concert, the Zach Bryan concert last night. Okay, they
Oh,
brought
wow.
out Bruce, came out and sang a song. But
Did
that
he
really
get?
irked me. I don't want to let that go. I didn't want to bring it up on the show. I was so annoyed by it yesterday that I was like, I want to open the show with it. When you said you had the hit list, that really bothered me. Okay.
But we received, as you know, a note from someone that I'm not really familiar with as being a typical commenter. And I won't get it right, but what hit me, and I'm going to claim I may have this wrong, but he talked about how you and I have a moral conscience. Do you remember that?
Oh, this was recently on the comments?
Oh, yeah. I'll find it and send it to you, but he talked about how the discussion of the hedge funds and the way they're paid and the comments actually, represent a real moral conscience. And I think that when, you start and understand that we are very lucky in that, and this is no bullshit, the average IQ of our listener has got to be very high because most of the content is very complicated. And I'm not picking on people that don't understand. I just mean people listen to stuff that they understand. Otherwise they tune it off, right? So, and to get the positive feedback or any feedback or positive criticism is very, very helpful. But I wonder when we see things like this in the past, I know we've been reticent to comment upon them. Certainly, there's not a lot you and I can individually do about it, but I do think it's worth crying bullshit, or as you said, that phrase we like, we're just sort of calling balls and strikes. And I think that, the problem to me isn't whether, we're supposed to be arguing abortion or global warming or these genocide or this or that. It's that rational discourse is now over. There's no way you can have a discussion with anybody about anything. People are even coming up with their own facts now. And that's out of all the things I see, whether it's, what's going on in the Middle East, whether it's the national debt, whether it's the bridge getting knocked over by the barge. Those are all terrible things. But the fact that, you can't get five people in a room and have a calm, fact-supported debate, that's going to be the undoing. And it makes me sad because I've had discussions with people, and even when I would press them about, well, I understand your view. What are you doing? What are you doing to fix the situation? And the answer is really nothing. And it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. This is my vehicle for trying to, educate, pay back, pay it forward, whatever. I'm not a big global warming guy. Isn't there, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. It's not my thing. I put out the recycling, okay? And yet I'm sure you can find plenty of people that tell you that costs more than you save. I don't know, but that's socially acceptable, right? So I go along with it. But occasionally I do get things that I feel strongly about. And I think we've made a point of trying to stay away from that stuff because the original goal was really just you and me riding our bike together, you asking really good questions, and me being challenged to explain them in a logical, understandable method. And you had the brilliant idea that there would be other people that would benefit from that. And I think to a large extent, I think we've accomplished a lot of that. And as time has gone by, we've spent more time talking about where we think the 2 years should be, or whether where the curve should be, or this and that, because I feel like we've ticked a lot of the boxes. Like, how many times can I tell you, about accrued interest or compound interest, or have a will or work on estate planning? I mean, if you need those things and you joined us recently, it's all in the archives. You can go and find that. But do I need to subject the person who's listened all along to a rehash of the same thing? I don't think so. So I'm kind of debating, whether we should be a little bit more open about our feelings. One of the people who wrote in asked whether they thought the outcome of the presidential election, what the effect that would have on the market. And my first answer is what I'm going to give you now, which is I have no idea. Mostly because I wanted to talk to you and see how to address that thing, because depending on how we answer that, there might imply that we have a bias. And if we're going to have a bias, then we should agree on it. And I don't think right now is the time to have that discussion. I would, if you're open to it, I'm happy to have it with you. And if we do believe we've had a consensus, then I think we should share that with people. And if we don't, I think we should say that too. But I'm starting to think that maybe we have more to offer than just the fact that, twos yield this and the funds yields that. And I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, or am I just rambling?
Dude, I template my template and my dude, I grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog. That was my radio show. They are the radio, they are the format of talk radio where I would listen to them every day, and it was either Yankees, Mets, Giants, Jets, sports. But they would take time when they would do other stuff, was when it really got good. And that's how you got to know them more. They would talk about what they did on their vacation, or they talked about their dinner, and they would go off sports, and that's what made them so relatable. So, for example, like Francesa would go away in the summer, he would take vacations all the time, like yourself. You're very busy, you're far more important than me. I'm at home with the kids. So Russo would do the show solo, and Russo liked tennis, and it would drive the plumbers and carpenters and the Yankees and Mets fans bananas, because Russo would come on, and like me, I'm going to play my Irish music on St. Pat. I'm going to do what I want. It's my Russo would talk tennis. But there was 10 people or 100 people. They did incredible numbers. There were people out there that loved it. And I would get a kick out of it because I'm listening to him anyway. I would listen to him no matter what. And that was just, I loved that. It just became such a part of me. So when that guy said this week, he was like, you've become like part of my weekend routine. And people said before, they've said it to you. They'll listen to you talk about anything, So to me, it's easy, and I get sucked into the political stuff, which isn't fun, and I don't want to do the radio show about the political stuff, but I'm gonna bang on Biden for the thing about the cop, because the NYPD, the FDNY, that stuff's important to me, and that really irked me. That really bothered me this week. So if there's stuff like that that goes on, I'm happy to talk about it, and I've tried to stay away from it because we've had more important market pressing issues to go on. But now we've been digging this ditch with the inverted yield curve, and how many more Fed meetings can we do? Hike and cut and blah blah. It's been going on and on and on. If something exciting was happening, then by all means. But dude, I love the current events. Dude, I live for that stuff.
Well, with that in mind, I'd like to talk about the market for a minute.
Very fine. All right. If you insist.
No, I think it's important. There was I think he's still alive. I don't think he's well, but there's a fellow who put out a 5 day a week, 4 week a month, 12 month a year newsletter. His name is Dennis Gartman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a polarizing guy, but he was around and I kind of liked
Think
him.
he's okay. I don't know why we're he's okay. I think he's okay.
Yeah. But he would decide to get out of a position or into a position, and he would have this phrase, call a trader's intuition, call it what you will. And we kind of chuckled at it. But there's something to that. And I mention it because, I don't know whether I talked about this last week or not, but I'm pretty sure I talked about how correlations seemed to be breaking down and things didn't seem to make sense to me. And I am going to potentially repeat what I said last week because I significantly modified my position in the market, and I feel incumbent to share that, which is, it's no secret that I was, am a believer in Lacey Hunt, and I expected long-term rates to come down, and I invested in long-term munis, and that worked out really well. I'm happy to mention the fact that gold is up and I missed that, and crypto is up and I missed that, all those other things. But when I put my money to it, it worked pretty good. A lot of what I bought were these bank preferreds, which are highly liquid. Do your own research. But when I bought them, they were, on my mind, on a relative basis, they were cheap to treasuries, one of the benchmarks I use. And I had noticed that they had gone from being relatively cheap to very rich. And then I started looking at the rate level. Again, the long bond, the 30-year treasury bond yields a 4.345. So if the inflation rate is running at 3% or a touch higher, it's a 100 basis point real rate of return. I got to be honest with you, I don't know whether that's good or bad. I mean, it's easy enough to look up. I don't, that's never really been my thing. But that to me, unless we're going back to the zero interest rate, that's not a very attractive level because, yeah, you're going to get your money back. Yeah, depending on where you reinvest your coupons, you may or may not get 4.3 something yield. But you are entertaining a lot of price risk. And it both works both ways. If rates continue to go down, then the price of those will go up faster than the shorter stuff. And you would yield a result, as the British would say, meaning you'd have a profit. What I'm conflicted with is the fact that the inverted yield curve, this has been inverted longer than ever, or ostensibly extremely long period of time. We've not gotten the recession, which I had expected. We had not gotten the recession that I think Lacey Hunt has sort of predicted. You have the Fed Governor Waller now talking about how, hey, wait a minute, these inflation measures aren't improving. I don't go to the grocery store. I go out to dinners. Nothing's going down in price.
Nothing is going down in price.
Yeah.
Gas is
And
coming, and gas is coming back too.
yeah, I felt it was $5 a gallon here.
Whoa.
Yeah, well, I get the
Nice.
premium.
Yeah, still, but still, the expensive stuff hasn't hit five at home yet. Wow. Yeah, that's wild. But yeah, it's creeping up. Gas going. Dude, the time, like, dude, the time they're going to cook those inflation numbers because it's going to be like, oh, well, a year ago, eggs were $9 a dozen. Now the eggs are $9 a dozen. Oh, there's no inflation. Okay. Yeah.
The number one thing on everyone's lips is commercial real estate. Okay. So, who makes loans to commercial real estate people? The banks. Well, why was I holding all of that bank debt? Well, now I ain't. Because that was yielding almost six, but the 3-month bill yields round number 3.5. Now, tax preference, yada yada, the bank was a higher yielding on a relative basis than the 3-month bill. But again, there's stuff going on here in my mind. A guy like Kevin Muir is going to do a better job of whether these correlations are breaking down. But I think that just something seems wrong. And when you throw in the fact that people I talk to regularly that I hold in high regard are all telling me they're lightening up, they're getting the same unusual feeling I'm at. I don't know. I know we joke, urge caution, do what you want to do. Life's full of choices. The one telling thing about my personality is you turn on the Bloomberg, and every morning, gold's higher, crypto's higher, the stock market's higher. And I'm feeling that feeling of FOMO. And I'm not in business anymore. I'm just clipping coupons. So if that FOMO feeling is creeping through to me, I can only imagine what it's doing to the average guy. And that's usually a sign that we're nearing the end of the run. And if the Fed decides, would you ask rhetorically a couple episodes ago, what if the next move isn't an ease? What if it's a tighten? If it's a tighten, I'll tell you what, just lock the door, because the people aren't prepared for that. So.
There's been it seems like people have like an obligation to say that now. Is like they I've heard JP Morgan's chief global equity strategist, he says, people might not see the edge until it's too late, worrying about the bubble, signs of the cliff's edge, could be stuck on the wrong side when the 5 month rally eventually falters. Just might come out of the blue. It just might come out of the blue. So that's where we are. We're at JP Morgan's head equity strategist saying, you might just come out of the blue. That's,
We could just read their stuff and copy their stuff on our show.
Yeah, I could read it like a clown, like I just did. I could just pass it off as mine.
Well, think of the money we would save. We could get rid of all those fucking ne'er-do-well writers
I don't know
that
what they
train.
why they get they axed my boy Marko Kolanovich, because he would steal our shit all the time too. And he I don't he Bloomberg's got some new guy. I don't know, chief global equity strategist. I can't even pronounce his name. Draco Lakos Boujos. Please, come on, something's gonna come out of the blue. That's what they're paying you the big bucks at JP Morgan. You're gonna call me on Monday morning. Don't get stuck on the wrong side. Come out of the blue. We've had flash crashes. No, one fund starts delevering some positions. A second fund hears that and tries to reposition. The third fund basically gets caught off guard. And the next thing you know, we start having a bigger and bigger momentum unwind. All right, folks, you guys have a great weekend. I mean, like what's he gonna
Well,
like out of the blue? But that's that, all it takes is a couple whispers and an unwind. I mean, it's not wrong, but it's.
there's generally, I mean, that's the definition of the black swan, something you don't expect, something you don't see.
Yeah.
Credit spreads are tight. I don't know.
Dude,
I'm happy
commercial real
to
estate. How long can the fuse burn on the commercial real estate stuff before they run out of money and it becomes a problem? If they can't refi these projects anymore.
I'm thinking, it's 6 to 9 months.
Okay. So yeah, the fuse is still burning.
So 6 months, March, gets us to what, September?
Yeah. Fall.
September, October?
Oh, election season.
Oh, generally, October, not.
Not a good seasonality. Yeah. It's not seasonality. It's not ideal. Maybe we're onto something here.
Well, I'm getting a little hungry. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you came and whacked half of the New York. Are you going to be in trouble now with your people since you went through the hit list of Orthodox Jews? Like, those guys kind of, I don't mess with
Well,
them.
part of our strategy was to get sued so we would get a lot
Okay,
of people
yeah, right.
listening.
Okay.
But hey, hey. What's that Springsteen quote? Tell her if she's looking, I'm not that hard to find or something. I don't know.
I want to say good job to Tunnels to Towers and to Donald Trump. All right, as sad as Tunnels to Towers, that's the greatest charity in the world. And I can't believe I'm saying good job, Donald Trump, but like that really means a lot to me. I don't know why. Like maybe it's an Irish Catholic thing, or it's like a New York like thing. That, but like going to a wake is a big deal, dude. Going to a cop's wake, standing in the pouring rain, like, trust me, when those guys go to those wakes, they wear their class A's, and he stood in, like, he's not standing in the pouring rain, but those guys stand in the rain for 3 hours, for a widowed
Don't
mother with a one-year-old kid, and Trump did it. If I'm
you
gonna be,
don't need
I'm gonna
you
give
don't
him
need
credit.
to
I have to.
you don't need to apologize for applauding somebody
Did
for
the right
doing
thing.
something nice. And if people want to say yeah, it was
Yeah.
politically motivated, fine. But
Yeah.
it's
I don't
everything.
care. I don't care if it is. That's fine. He did the right thing. There's A and there's anyway. All right. So what do you do? Let me give you a thorough interrogation regarding your bike riding. You're not right. You're not flying around on your bike, because I don't want to catch wind of you doing big bike rides. That's not. I saw you doing a little too much with Alex last weekend, okay, or 2 weeks ago.
John Benson's going to be here tomorrow.
Here we go.
And well, I'm keeping my rides at under 2 hours with a full day's rest.
Okay.
So
We talked about this.
that's number one. Number two, by the time I get back to Greenwich, I should have one of those e-bikes. That's the bike with the motor in it, that used to be illegal.
I went to the bike shop today. I went to the shop today. 8 out of 10 people coming in the shop want an e-bike. He sells more e-mountain bikes than he did regular bikes this year. What am I
Well,
doing? What am I doing? What?
what do you mean? What are you doing?
I'm getting an e-bike. Well, all right, so what's up with your old bike? Can I have the old bike?
My old mountain bike?
No, I don't want the mountain bike. I want your old road bike.
What? Okay. Okay.
You heard it, folks. I got a new bike. All right, I'll see you when you get back. Inside baseball, an old chestnut on the record.
Have my fingers crossed.
Yeah. I could say something really mean about the Jews, but I won't. Come on, Friday. Good Friday. Come
I
on.
think it took care of
Okay, thank you. All right,
that.
folks, have a great weekend. Inside Baseball Cast, if you got any problems with us, all right? Inside Baseball Cast at gmail.com. Goodbye.